Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you would hand his son a stone when he asks for a loaf of bread, or a snake when he asks for a fish? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to A Catholic Conversation. My name is John Catalano. I am an ordained deacon in the Archdiocese of New York, and I am joined by my good friend, Frank Alasia, the legendary basketball player from St. Agnes and Rockville Center and St. John's. Frank, how are you doing tonight, my man?
I'm doing good, Deacon John. How's everything?
Everything's great. I know we wanted to discuss something very important to both of us, which is the simple act of prayer. And I know you are a practicing Catholic, Frank, but let me just start by asking you, what is your own prayer life comprised of?
Well, my prayer life consists of starting the day with the rosary before I go to Mass. I like that to be the first thing, to kind of lift my heart and mind up to God before I start my day. I often call it, you know, the most important meeting of the day is that first meeting. So that's how I start my day. You know, it's not for everybody. Everybody's at different stages in their spiritual life. So it's no different than, you know, I always compare stuff to golf. You know, a 15 handicap looks at a 10 and thinks he's great, and a 10 looks at a 5, and a 5 wants to get to a scratch.
Well, did you have to build up to get to the point where you were saying the rosary every day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the more that you do pray, starting small, the more it kind of builds. I think it's very important to, you know, ask yourself, if you want to get to know somebody, you know, what do? You have to talk to them. You have to visit them. You have to set time aside to be with them and get to know them. And it's no different with God. That's how people ask, I know Jesus. That's how I know Jesus, because I talk to him. I'm familiar.
I think that's great. I think it's a good place to start, the whole idea of talking to God. I know that when I speak to parents of kids who are receiving their first Holy Communion or their confirmation, these are parents that have their kids in Catholic school or in religious ed, and they're being trained to receive an essential sacrament, and they themselves, you can tell, don't pray at all. So we say to them, when we talk to them, you know, what's in your heart tonight? You know, what are you yearning for yourself and your life and for your kids? Because that's your prayer tonight. You know, that's what you say tonight when you go home. You share with God what's in your heart. I always think of the idea of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but also, what about Mary's heart? Remember that when she and Joseph took the baby Jesus to the temple, the old man Simeon said to her, "And a sword will pierce your heart." And later on during the ministry, a couple of times, it was mentioned that she kept all these things in her heart. And so if we want to connect with the heart of God, heart of Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we have to start that dialogue. What do you think of that?
Right. No, I agree. And the thing about the kids is, as you know, we both have kids. You know, mine are kind of grown up now, and yours are also. But, you know, they don't necessarily listen to what we say, and I'm surprised on that. But they see everything you do. So like you said, to the parents of the first communicants, or even somebody who's bringing their child to get baptized, it's very important what you do. Because when we do pray, it will change our lives. It'll change your life. I guarantee that. It might not change your circumstances, but it'll help you to deal with them better. You know, and always remember, you know, people will say, you know, I pray and I don't get what I want, or I prayed about this, I prayed about that, and I don't seem to get, you know, get what I'm praying for. I mean, what do you say to people like that?
Well, I mean, the prayer of petition, asking God for things, is what we always think of as, you know, regular prayer. Lord, please do this, and please help me with this, and so forth. But, you know, and it's a very important part of prayer is expressing gratitude. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for creating. Thank you for my life. Thank you for all the things that are placed in. Thank you for all these things. And also just being with God is prayer. People who sit alone in church, quietly, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, that's prayer. Silent presence in front of God. You know, you mentioned the baptism thing. When I talk to young parents at baptism, we say to them, look, you'll do anything for your child. You will work two jobs. You'll move to another city. You will sacrifice for your child. But will you take the risk of praying in front of them? They repeat everything you say. So if you say, Hail Mary, full of grace, they'll be willing to repeat that. But if you don't do that, where else will they ever hear prayer? They're not going to hear it outside of the home. Right. Because nobody outside the home is praying. And I always say, look, if you can manage one prayer in front of your child every day, it's this. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive and which come from thy bounty, through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you can say thank you, God, for this meal in front of your child, you're setting your child on a path of faith and prayer, right?
Absolutely. I mean, true happiness really begins and ends with gratitude for life. I mean, how many times do we take the simple thing of, not so simple, but think about a mind. You know, I mean, how thankful are you that you go about your business every day, you wake up, you have your breakfast, you go to work, you kind of take all those things for granted, you know? Besides all the obvious things, your eyesight, your ability to walk, your ability to talk and all that, but just think about that. You know, how many people really give those kinds of things a thought? One of the things people ask me about, and I know they probably do with you, is what about distractions in prayer? Like I'm distracted all the time. You know, my mind wanders. And I say to them, look, nothing subtracts from the grace that you receive when you pray. You know, it's what's happening, not how you're feeling. You know, your feelings will always kind of, a lot of times they'll lead you in the wrong direction. And I never look at the times that I'm distracted. I always look at it from a positive point of view that if I'm distracted 10 times during prayer, I get myself back on course 10 times. You know, I'm coming back to the Lord 10 times. So I wouldn't worry about, you're being distracted during prayer.
Well, the other thing too, is you just reminded me that to stimulate people that we love to pray, one of the things we could start off by saying, hey, what are you grateful for today? Some people are taken aback by that.
They definitely are. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I asked this one girl, I told you one time, and I she said, oh my God, no one's ever asked me that before. I said, wait a minute, you're 35 years old. No one's ever asked you what you're grateful for. But if you then say, hey, what can I pray for you tonight? That person has not been praying, but they don't mind being asked because, hey, maybe this guy Frank's a prayer. I'll send it in through him. Yeah, my father's having surgery Thursday. Why don't you say a prayer? And that may remind them or induce them in some small way to start thinking about offering prayers themselves.
Definitely. Start small. Like if you think about it, you know, there's different levels. Of course, there's the Mass and the Eucharist. You can liken that like to a family dinner where everybody's conversing around the table, or short prayers, like a quick conversation when you see somebody. And as you get more advanced, like you said, you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament in meditation and not saying anything, just kind of let the Lord talk to you, or just be quiet. That could be more like a serious, more like a serious conversation. But I think to get people started, start small. You know, Hemingway, the great writer, used to write 250 good words a day. Now 250 words is maybe a page. So think about that. You know, go out and do something small. Start small. Start with a Hail Mary, and then from there you build up your prayer life. You wouldn't give a kid on a tricycle, you know, a bicycle next without training wheels, or give them a motorcycle. Each level you have to start at the bottom and work your way up.
Hey, Hemingway, also, I didn't know he wrote so few words, 250, but I also know he wrote standing up. You stand up in the hallway and type while you're standing. Maybe we should pray standing up, too.
That's maybe why he wrote only 250 words a day. Yeah. His legs got tired.
You know, there's so many other prayers, too. You mentioned the Mass. Well, of course, the Mass is the perfect prayer because it contains all of the words that need to be said. It's the revealed word of God and the receiving of God in the Eucharist. But there are so many other prayers. I mean, the Memorare, you know, the chaplet right. of the Divine Mercy, the rosary itself, as you mentioned, that's something that might be more challenging for people to take on at first. But but even just opening up the Psalms and just beginning to read the Psalms out loud, quiet, or, you know, quietly in your room, but you can say it out loud as well.
Right. And of course, a passage a day from the Bible. That's another good way to pray.
And of course, the prayer of the church is the liturgy of the hours, the divine office, which is a series of antiphons and psalms and responses and so forth, and readings and the office of readings. It's something that we'll talk about later, but it's a great ocean of prayer that most bishops, priests, and deacons have to pray every single day. So there's a whole ton of great stuff out there. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna pray for you tonight. And let us not forget that when in the Bible, Jesus says, when you pray, go to your inner room and close the door and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who hears you in secret will repay you. And that's the great call of the Lord himself, to personalize your prayer, speak to God in what's in your heart. And then, of course, in the very next paragraph, he says, and when you are together with everybody in community, this is how you ought to pray. And he offers us the Lord's Prayer, which is our Father. It's praying together with the whole church and with your friends. How are we doing so far? Right, Frank?
I think one story that I have that was a very, very touching story was there was a trainman, and every day his train would have a layover. And it was a church right at the station, kind of like Rockville Center where St. Agnes is off the train. And the trainman would run in every day and say, "Hello, Jesus, this is John." And he did that, you know, every day. And when he was dying, the priest was giving him last rites. And the priest heard a voice say, "Hello, John, this is Jesus." I just think that's a beautiful story, and that's all it takes. You know, if you give God just a little bit, he'll multiply that 100,000-fold.
I love it. So let's encourage our friends to pray, and I'll be praying for you. And if you want to make a comment about this podcast, just email us at john@jc.training. That's john@jc.training, TRAING. Frank, I love you a lot. I'll talk to you next time around. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks, Deacon John.